This evening I'd like to call your attention to Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul would say, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That's a very important lesson that our beloved apostle is giving us in this verse. For as by one man's disobedience. Now, who do you think that one man was? It was nobody that's living on earth today. We're all sinners, but we're not the ones under consideration. For by one man's disobedience, that one man was Adam. In the morning of time, God created him, and he represented the entire human race. Now you may say, "Well, Brother Sam, if Adam represented the entire human race, why is the word many used in this text? Why didn't Paul say, for as by one man's disobedience, all were made sinners?" Well, he did say that in other scriptures in Romans. We know that Adam represented the entire human race, and by his disobedience, all were made sinners. So why would Paul use the word many here instead of all? Well, here is my thought on that. I believe in this part of Romans, Paul is dealing with the elect family. And they are described in the Bible as many. Not a few, but many. But even his elect family that was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world fell in Adam. For as by one man's disobedience, many, all of the elect, were made sinners. You and I, and everybody in this house tonight, was made a sinner when Adam sinned. We weren't here bodily, but we were here by representation of Adam. Adam represented all of us. So when Adam sinned, we all sinned in Adam. Very important to understand the doctrine of representation, that one man could represent all. But in our text, Paul is dealing with the elect. So you would say, for as by one man's disobedience, isn't that a sad word? Just think about it. Disobedience, disobeying the command of God. That's what Adam did. He disobeyed God. And that disobedience had horrible consequences. And it brought the entire elect family of God into a state of sin. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You see, you and I didn't become sinners when we sinned. We sinned because we were made sinners. This book board up here was made. It didn't make itself. You and I were made sinners. We didn't make ourselves sinners. Now, we willfully sin, but we were not made sinners because of something we did. We were made sinners because of what our representative Adam did. So we became sinners unconditionally on our part. Now, that's sad, but I'm glad that's not all the verse. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Who do you think that one obedient man was? It wasn't any of us. It was Jesus Christ, the God-man. Y'all see that? Now, notice the text. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, let's think about that for a moment tonight. You and I were made righteous when Jesus Christ was obedient. We weren't made righteous when we did something. We weren't made righteous when we joined the church and were baptized and read our Bibles and prayed fervently and gave to the poor. None of that made us righteous. What made us righteousness was the righteousness of one man, Jesus Christ. And we were made righteous. We didn't make ourselves righteous. Now, beloved, if God's children can ever get that truth in their minds and absorbed into their being, it will bless them all the days of their life to know that you are righteous before God through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Have you all ever struggled with the feeling that you're just not righteous, that you're a sinner and that you're not righteous, and there's no way that God could really love you and no way you could ever go to heaven? I think those thoughts can torment God's children. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who would like to prosecute us before the judge of all the earth and say to God, there is no way that you could ever love Sam Bryant. There is no way that you could ever let him into your heaven because he's unrighteous. Satan wants me to believe that. He wants you to believe that about yourself. Satan wants us to look at ourselves for righteousness because he knows if we do, we'll know if we're honest that we're not righteous. And we've tried to be righteous and we failed to be righteous, and so we get discouraged and we think God is just too holy for me. I don't want anything to do with him. He's too holy for me. I am unrighteous. Well, I've got news for all of God's children that will listen tonight. You have been made righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that when God looks on us, he looks on us through his Son and his righteousness. And what does God see when he looks on Sam Bryant through his Son Jesus? He sees somebody who has been made righteous through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But Satan loves to try to torment us and get us filled with doubts about our salvation and doubts about our eternal destiny. And he wants us to doubt about our lives on this earth. He always is trying to get people to doubt their prayer life. I dealt with that some today. You ever feel like that your prayers are just not what they ought to be? That you don't pray long enough? You don't pray sincere enough? You don't pray passionately enough? You don't pray often enough? Y'all ever struggle with that? Well, see, that's the devil telling you all that. Because when you and I pray to God, our prayers ascend to heaven through Jesus. And he makes our prayers acceptable. It's not what you and I do, it's what Jesus, our high priest, does for us in making our prayers acceptable in his sight. And this is a part of spiritual warfare. And God's children need to understand who they are in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. No matter what I do, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's not saying that we shouldn't try to live right and do right, but what it's saying is that you don't make yourself righteous by what you do. Jesus did that for us through his obedience when he was here on this earth. And he represents us at the throne room of heaven, and how we do rejoice in that glorious fact. The devil wants us to look to ourselves for righteousness. God wants us to look to his son Jesus as our righteousness. Where do y'all look when you're looking for righteousness? You look at yourself? Good luck. Because you're a sinner just like I am. And the Bible says that our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Not our unrighteousness, not our iniquity, our righteousnesses. The best we can do. You say, now, Brother Sam, that's just not fair. Well, it's true. Our best in the sight of a holy God is like filthy rags. You say, well, there's no hope. There isn't in us, but there's a lot of hope in Jesus, who is our righteousness. By one man's obedience, many were made righteous. That's my hope tonight of going to heaven. What's your hope? You think you're earning your home in heaven? No, my friends, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And you and I mustn't let Satan get into our minds and hearts and torment us and cause us to doubt and fear about our righteousness. I want to go with you over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 a moment tonight and look at a verse that deals with spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We know that our military here in America has to fight wars with carnal weapons. They need their guns, they need their tanks, they need their bombs. But you and I, in our spiritual warfare, can't fight it with guns and knives and tanks. All the guns in Georgia is not going to help you in your spiritual warfare. Y'all understand that? Paul would say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan has set up strongholds in our minds, lying to us and telling us this and that and the other, and telling us that there's no way we could go to heaven the way we are. There's no way we could be a child of God. That's a stronghold that needs to be pulled down. Now notice verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Listen to this. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When I'm doing warfare with Satan, I need to bring my thoughts again to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And when Satan accuses me and tells me I'm a sinner, you know what I need to do? I need to say, you're right, Satan, I am a sinner. But I want to point you to Calvary. And I want you to look yonder at my representative, my Savior, who came from heaven to this earth. And he lived a perfect life, a sinless life. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Pilate's wife, the day he was going to crucify him, said, have nothing to do with this just man. She knew. Pilate washed his hands in the presence of the raging mob and said, I'm innocent from the blood of this innocent man. Even the thief on the cross said to the other thief, you and I have done wrong. We're getting what we deserve. But this man, pointing to Jesus, has done nothing amiss. I'm glad. Aren't y'all glad about the man in the middle? Even Judas Iscariot said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The courtroom of this world found him innocent. But the main courtroom was in heaven. And God the Father didn't find any fault in him. So when the devil is accusing you and wanting you to look at yourself and your miserable failure, you just say, you're right, devil. I am a sinner. But I've got a Savior. I want you to look at him. Look at him, Satan. You can't do anything about what he's done. He made me righteous, and you can't do anything about it. Talk to the devil. He wants to tell you you're going to hell. You remind him where he's going. Don't be scared of the devil. He's already been defeated. He's just wiggling around, aggravating us down here. But I'm telling you, he's already been defeated at Calvary. The prophecy in the Old Testament in Genesis, the opening of the Word of God. In the morning of time, God said, the seed of the woman. You know who that was? Seed doesn't come from women. It comes from the man. But this is the seed of the woman. That's talking about the virgin birth of the Son of God. And what's the seed of the woman going to do to the serpent's head? And the serpent is the devil. You know what the seed of the woman's going to do to the serpent's head? It's going to smash him. Yeah, the devil will bruise his heel at Calvary, but he's going to give him a head wound. Y'all need to remember this now. When the devil is bothering you, right now y'all probably not being bothered. After a good song service and Brother Alec talking to us so sweetly, and I'm trying to tell y'all probably right now not being bothered, but Monday morning, maybe on your way home tonight, the devil will try to get in the car with you. Get into your thoughts, your mind, and what you need to do is do exactly what Paul says here. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He is my obedience. He's my all in all. He didn't just do his part and I got to do mine. He did it all. So when I pray to God, you know how my prayers ascend to heaven? Through my high priest. I want to look at another text tonight with y'all. And then we'll try to be brief. I know it's Sunday night, but let's look at a text in Hebrews chapter 9. Boy, I love this text. It's 9 and 24. Listen to this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places, that's heaven, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, that is the temple in Jerusalem, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, why did Jesus Christ appear in heaven itself? Listen. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Those two little words, for us. Now, I'm telling you. That's glorious, isn't it? You know why Jesus Christ appears in heaven tonight as our high priest? For us. A prophet speaks for God to the people. But a priest represents the people to God. And standing between us and a holy God tonight is our high priest, Jesus Christ. And he's appearing up there in heaven for us. So when we pray, and I mentioned this today, when I pray, my prayers, I understand, are pitiful. But when I offer them up, and they go up to Father through Jesus, he takes them. And you know what he does? He looks at them, and he takes out all the errors and the mistakes and the shortcomings and the lack of compassion. He takes all the trash out and presents the prayer to God, and God accepts it. Let's go back to the Old Testament tonight, to Exodus. Exodus, we're going to read about the high priest in Exodus chapter 28. Let's read about the high priest in verse 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, like the engravings on the signet, holiness to the Lord. The high priest of Israel would have a golden plate over his forehead. And on that golden plate would be inscribed these words, holiness to the Lord. The high priest is presenting holiness to the Lord. And the high priest is representing the children of Israel. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon a blue lace, that it may be upon the montre. Upon the forefront of the montre it shall be. Now listen to verse 38. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, Aaron being the high priest. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Have you ever thought about that? The iniquity of the holy things. You wouldn't think holy things would have any iniquity. But as you and I gather here tonight to worship God, and it is a holy thing to gather here tonight and worship. Every time we gather, it's a holy thing. But brethren and sisters, none of our worship is sinless. We don't always worship in spirit and in truth. Our offering to God, even our holy acts of prayer and singing and preaching, has some iniquity in it. You know, you and I should give. The Bible teaches us that we're to give. And we try to give. But have you ever given anything with absolutely, teetotally pure motive altogether? Come on now. You give to somebody because they gave something to you. Is that a holy? Is that pure and holy altogether? That's just swapping gifts. You give something to somebody hoping they're going to speak favorably of you in a situation. You give, but you tell everybody you gave. You see, when you and I do good things, even giving, and we ought to give, and we ought to pray, and we ought to sing, and we ought to worship, but nothing we do is sinless. We're sinners. But notice what the high priest does. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Our high priest takes even our sins and presents it to God. Are y'all getting this? See, we got to admit, I know some church, some denominations put on a big show when it comes to worship. They got an orchestra. I mean, a live orchestra. They got robed choirs that would, I mean, you'd pay to hear them sing. They got fabulous props everywhere, lights. They got smoke coming out. They got all these psychedelic lights. I mean, they put on a show of religion. You think that's going to get through to God any better than what we're doing here tonight? Probably not. Forgive me, but probably not as good. We're not trying to put on a show. But I can tell you, even old Baptists, our worship is not perfect by any means. And any time we think we're better than other people, we done got in the flesh. Are y'all listening to me? But God, Jesus, our high priest, takes our feeble efforts to worship and he presents it to God through his righteousness, and God accepts it. Let's turn over to Hebrews, to a beautiful passage that I have loved and camped around for years. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Listen to this. By him, that is by Jesus Christ, Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. We don't offer animals today in the New Testament. We don't offer bullocks. We don't offer lambs. We don't offer doves. We don't bring animals in here and slay them and offer them to God. That was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. But we do make offerings to God. Why are we here tonight? We're here to offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Y'all sitting there tonight, you know what y'all are doing? You're offering something to God. You know what you're offering Him? A sacrifice of praise. Why are we here this evening? To praise Him. Now, if y'all are over here to be seen, you're missing out. You're over here to see something. You're over here to see Him and to offer praise to Him. Listen to the text. By Him, that is by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And what is the sacrifice of praise that we make to God continually? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. See, when you and I gather here and we give thanks to God, I mean, out of a heart of gratitude, we give thanks. That's a sacrifice of praise. And we offer that through Jesus Christ. Because I don't care how sincere you are, it's going to be flawed. It is. But I want to tell you, you know, a lot of times when I try to preach, I'm sure Brother Michael and Brother Wynn could relate to this. After you've tried to preach, the devil will just torment you all the way home. Why didn't you say this? You just made the biggest mess. I'm getting a little smile from these preachers that are here. One time I knew a preacher. This is a true story. He had made an effort to preach at a big meeting, and he felt like he'd made a miserable failure. And on the way home, he was trying to get a little compliment out of his wife. You know how you'll fish for compliments? And she finally said, "Honey, did they give you a love offering?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I think you need to take it back." Preachers' wives, they have a rough time. Bless their hearts. But the devil, he'll try to get me to thinking you just made the biggest mess. And some of y'all may be agreeing with him. I don't know. But I'm doing what I can tonight to tell y'all the Word of God. And I know it's flawed. I've never come close to preaching a perfect sermon. Never have. I've heard people pray, "God bless this man to preach better than he's ever preached." I've never understood that prayer. Does that sound like we're in competition? Trying to out-preach ourselves? If a man preached better than he ever preached, people are going to leave the church talking about what a great preacher he is instead of what a great God he has. Right? I just want to preach the gospel in a way that God gets the glory. And I know our efforts, and I know y'all are here to worship Him. And I want to encourage y'all to come every chance you can. But I want y'all to know that our worship, our sacrifice of praise goes up to our God through our high priest. And our high priest makes it acceptable. And that's what encourages us. It's been a joy to try to preach to you all tonight about Jesus Christ, our righteousness. He is our everything. And when we pray in His name. Thank you all for your good attention.